The history of Bible students movement is the history of the last 150 years. So compared to Christian history, this is a very small period of time. However, the influence of this movement on the deep understanding of Bible, biblical truth is enormous. And this movement played an even more significant role in emphasizing the present and future role of the chosen nation Israel. And this is a fact that is also recognized in Jewish and Christian circles. Let us quote two reviews of a book by David Horowitz entitled Pastor C.T. Russell, an Earlier American Christian Zionist. First quotation, that's from Jane Kirkpatrick, former U.S. ambassador to United Nations and advisor to President Reagan. We'll read. This is a fascinating account of a neglected man and a neglected chapter in the history of Zionism. David Horowitz's well-written book is extremely interesting reading. I definitely recommend it. And second quotation is from Benjamin Netanyahu, former Prime Minister of Israel. And quotation, Horowitz has performed an admirable service in restoring to public knowledge the story of this important Christian Zionist. Of course, he's talking about Brother Russell. Now, we'll be able to see also on next slide that there is a photo of this book in English language by David Horowitz, and article of by Dr. Jane Kirkpatrick about Brother Russell. Let us turn to the chronological chart showing the most important events of our movement over the last century and a half. Among those notable events, we observed that in 1879, the Watchtower Tower magazine begins to be published. In 1886, the Divine Plan of Salvation is published, which starts the entire series of studies in the scriptures. In 1905, daily food in the form of the heavenly manna begins to be published. In 1910, Pastor Russell delivers a speech to a Jewish audience at the New York Hippodrome. In 1916, Pastor Russell dies. Well, our attention is drawn to the year 1911. The most important event of that year was the publication of a newspaper entitled The Steamer, published in the Yiddish language and intended for readers from that nation. We wonder, why did this newspaper, The Steamer, and the events associated with this publication are so significant that they were included in the chronological chart as the most important event of our movement in 1911. We will explain this in several stages. To illustrate what the situation was in 1911 in terms of the Jewish cause and the activity of Pastor Russell, let us quote from a letter written to Pastor Russell by Brother H. Oleszczyński. This letter is from the Watchtower, December 1911 edition. Let's read. Dear Brother Russell, your favor of August 1st gladly received. My visit to this place is at an end. The Lord knows best what results shall come from it. The truth is spread considerably over the country in many different ways. There is also a good deal of interest in present truth, but the Roman Catholics in general and Poles especially are very slow to join any Protestant congregation. Many are coming to the meetings and are circulating our literature, but they do not join the class. Some interest is manifested in Łódź. One of our brethren here in Warsaw doing colporteal work will go there to assist. Łódź is a large city, about 500,000. At the railroad station in Łódź, at the newspaper stand, we place the steamer. Many Jews coming and going to Russia and buying and carrying the paper with them. Many Jews in Warsaw and small towns already know your name. All Jews' papers were writing articles pro and con, but have the idea that the steamer is missionary paper. However, there is a good deal of interest all over the country among the Jews. Hey, Brother H. Oleszczyński. That's from a reprint article 4934. This letter raises 3 points that need to be explained. Point first. Using our imagination, we can picture the Polish city of Łódź in 1911. The railway station is full of travelers from various parts of the Russian Empire. The Jews who are traveling are particularly noticeable. Brother Oleszczyński reports to the pastor on his activities, writing about Polish cities like Warsaw and Łódź. He mentions that he finds himself in Russia. That is because in 1911, this part of Poland has been under Russian rule for over 110 years. Moreover, the cities of Łódź and Warsaw were on the railroad route used by Jews to travel between Russia and Western Europe and beyond. Note that for European Jews at that time, the best and only occupation was trade. This job required journey. Brother Oleszczyński was sent to work in this part of Europe. He knew the condition there perfectly and were in the best place was to proclaim the truth in due season. It would have been hard to find a better place for this purpose, as we read. At the railroad station in Łódź, at a newspaper stand, we placed the steamer. Many Jews coming and going to Russia are buying and carrying the paper with them. So that's part of the quotation from the same article. That was point one, explained the location of work by Brother Oleszczyński. Point two. We note that in the letter, the name Diestime was used several times. This name is also the title of our discourse. And as we said, in the Bible Students Movement, we noticed that the publication of the journal was the most important event of 1911. The name Die Stimme itself, it is not a Hebrew name. It comes from Yiddish and means the voice. So Die Stimme in Yiddish means the voice. History of Yiddish language. Those Jews who survived the Bar Kokhba uprising in 135 AD resettled in Europe, especially into northern Germany. They began to use jargon mixing Hebrew and German, and that is how the Yiddish language was born. Additionally, elements of the Slavic and Roman languages were added to this mixture. We note that the Jews at that time did not use the Latin alphabet that we use, which was widely used at the time in Central and Western Europe. The Jews considered Latin letters to be something unclean or fake. Would like to read quotation from Britannica Encyclopedia. Britannica says, Yiddish language is the language of Central and European Jews and their descendants, written in the Hebrew alphabet. It became one of the world's most widespread languages, appearing in most countries with a Jewish population by the 19th century. Along with Hebrew and Aramaic, it is one of the three major literary languages of Jewish people. Prior to the Holocaust, there were 11 to 13 million speakers of Yiddish among 17 million Jews worldwide. 85% of the approximately 6 million Jews who were murdered in the Holocaust were Yiddish speaker. So we ask, why did Brother Rasu, with the help of Brother Oleszyński, publish in Poland and Europe a periodic in Yiddish, not in Polish, German, or any other European languages? You can see that Yiddish was the international language of Jews. So a Jew from Kiev, Warsaw, Hamburg, or New York could communicate in this language. This situation can be compared to the English language in our time. This information helps us to understand why Brother Rasu published Die Stimme in Yiddish in 1911. Because 85% of the world's Jews could read and understood the content of this magazine. In 1911, the Yiddish language was the best way to reach 12 million Jews. It was for them the newspaper, Die Stimme, was intended in the language of the Jews of the world at the time. And point number three. We read in that article again. Many Jews in Warsaw and small towns already know your name. All Jews papers were writing articles pro and con, but most of them have the idea that the Stimme is a missionary paper. However, there is a good deal of interest all over the country among the Jews. So that's a part of quotation from the same article from Brother Rasu, from the letter from Brother Oleszyński to Brother Raso. Considering that it is the year 1911, we are astonished by this statement, quotation, many Jews in Warsaw and small towns already know your name. That means Brother Russell's name. The name of Brother Russell was well known among the Jews of Central Europe in 1911. We wonder how the teaching of Pastor Russell reached the Jews in 1911 in the middle of Europe. Let's show it in a few selected stages of the Brother Russell's activity. Four stages. First stage is studies in the scriptures. Second, overland monthly. Third one, journey to Jerusalem. And last one, for his talk to Hippodrome in 1910. Stage first, studies in the scriptures. In 1886, Pastor Russell published this series of books. The second book published in 1891 was titled The Time is at Hand, in which he presented prophecies pointing to the year 1914. In chapter 4, titled The Time of the Gentiles, Brother Russell has written about an important change in relations to God's chosen nation. The third book in this series was The Kingdom Come from 1889. One of the chapters in volume 3 is titled Restoration of Israel, in which Brother Russell wrote, its quotation, amid the events of the Lord's day, we should expect the reestablishment of the state of Israel in the land of Palestine. Brother Russell mentioned in studies in the scriptures in 1889 of the restoration of Israel, long before the slogan of Zionism appeared among the Jewish community, long before T. Herzl appears on the scene. 59 years before modern Israel was established in 1948. So the volumes, the studies in the scriptures, especially volume 3, serve as an introduction to the teaching about prophecies about the rise of the state of Israel. So the teachings of this preacher could not escape the attention of Jewish community. Second stage, overland monthly. In 1909, Pastor Russell took advantage of the overland monthly offer, and in February of that year, the first article in a series entitled God's Program was published. The title of this article is Living and True God. From January 1910, the Overland Monthly began publishing 12 articles targeted toward Jews in the series God's Chosen People. We can see some of the titles here. Faith and Foundation of Jewish Character. Zionism is a God's Call. The Great Day of Atonement. Should Jews and Christians unite? Israel's new covenant. Here, there is an excerpt from Article 11 from Overmonthly, page 113. Must Jews become Christian in order to return to divine favor? That's a question. and answered by Brother Erasu. The same scriptures which testify to their solidarity as a people inform us that they will become a nation at the close of this gospel age, when the set time for God to remember Zion shall come. St. Paul explicitly points out that divine favor will return to natural Israel just as soon as the call of this gospel age to the heavenly kingdom class shall have reached fulfillment. So that was quotation from Overmonthly, page 113. So Brother Russell touched upon various biblical themes to encourage Jews to take very seriously to promise of God's word, many of which pertain precisely to the Jewish chosen nation. He saw that among the various prophetic fulfillment he expected in the end time, there were also promises to restore God's favor to the Jews. By seeing his belief on numerous Old Testament prophecies, especially on books of Isaiah, Jeremiah, and other lesser prophets, the pastor foresaw the return of the Jewish people to the land of Israel from all countries where they were scattered. So that was Brother Russell's job and writing and information in Overmonthly, started from 1909. So that was second point in this journey. Third one, important, that's Brother Russell's journey to Jerusalem. That's the next significant step was a trip to Jerusalem. That was April 1909. It gave the pastor the opportunity to personally see places he had to this point only known through studying the Bible, such as Jericho, Bethlehem, or the Dead Sea area. Let us quote part of the sermon in Jerusalem. That's from a reprint article 461. We quote, "Then we spoke more particularly to the Jews using as our text the double mention by the prophets, Jeremiah, Zechariah, and Isaiah, explaining how the double of Israel's experiences would reach full accomplishment in 1915, and that the divine favor for the Jews would be manifested, and subsequently all the gracious promises made to them would have fulfillment. We show that the promises which belong to the church are spiritual and separate and distinct from those made to Abraham, the prophets, and Israel, but that the blessing of Israel are necessarily delayed until the promises made to spiritual Israel shall reach accomplishment, and that this would be fulfilled during the time of Israel's second experience or double." So that's end of quotation from a reprint article. So Pastor Russell's speech in the ancient capital of the Jews echoed widely in the Jewish world. Upon his return to United States, his articles in Overland Monthly increased interest in the Jewish community in the United States at the time. And step or point number four in this journey, that's Hippodrome, Brother Russell's speech in Hippodrome 1910. Subsequent articles in Overland Monthly spark numerous discussions among the leadership of the American Jewish community. This speech in Jerusalem aroused so much interest among the Jews. The organizing community of the General Assembly of Jews invited the pastor to deliver a speech at such an assembly. This invitation was signed by many distinguished Hebrews from New York. We read comments about those events. New York Jews, then over a million, were deeply interested in various speeches of Pastor Russell and were glad to hear his view on Zionism. For near 2 hours, the speaker kept everyone in such a tension that no one realized how fast time was passing, not even the speaker himself. The audience was so pleased that they repeatedly interrupted Brother Russell's speech with loud applause, whistling and shouts. Loud applause at the end of the drone out by the choir singing the song Hatikvah. For the vast majority of Jews then in the audience at the Hippodrome, it was a great surprise to hear from the mouth of a famous Christian pastor word that confirm the truth of the Jewish faith. So that's like a report from Brother Russell's speech and Hippodrome in 1910. What were the results of this address to the Jews in New York? Let's read another statement. In 1910, over 1,000 different newspapers published weekly sermons from the pastor in the United States and Canada. Their circulation ranged from 2,500 up to 300,000 copies for one edition. It was estimated that the truth reached at least 10 million homes in this way. The effectiveness of this work was confirmed by letters coming to the Biblical House, as well as by distributors who could sell publications with greater ease. A special area of work was the publishing of the newspaper Der Stimme, 325,000 copies in Yiddish language. Additionally, 665,000 various tracts in Yiddish were distributed, and various Jewish newspapers published the sermons of Pastor Russell in English with a total circulation of over 107,000 copies. Summary. This fact deserves emphasized here. The estimated circulation was 325,000 copies. Additionally, 665,000 various acts in Yiddish. Various Jewish newspapers published the sermons of Brother Russell in English with total circulation of over 107,000 copies. That's give us a total number over 1 million copies. This figure would have to be multiplied several times to get the actual numbers of Jews could this literature reach? The literature reach entire families and Jewish communities. So if we would like to multiply that 1 million copies by 4 or 5, that gives us few millions Jews were able to read the Stimme in Yiddish language. So C.T. Russell published over 1 million pamphlets containing news for Jews. This was disseminated to Jews all over the world, among the Jewish community in Europe, and especially in Poland and also in Russia, encouraging them to return to their land and to be part of God's plan. Before Brother Russell, no Anglo-Jewish newspapers or the Yiddish press contain articles written by a Christian writer. So, therefore, it seems correct to say that Die Stimme was a significant event in our Bible student movement in 1911, which, as we have shown, contributed to refreshing the hope of the chosen people to fulfill the special role provided for it.